Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 42. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, while the cowherd boys, who knew nothing within the core of their hearts but Krishna, were thus engaged in eating their lunch in the forest, the calves went far away, deep into the forest, being allured by green grass. Sure. Okay. When Krishna saw that his friends, the cowherd boys, were frightened, he, the fierce controller, even of fear itself, said, just to mitigate their fear, my dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself. Footnote 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 11 through 13 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. Right, so they're feeling fearful, but fierce control even of fear itself. So then he'll take care of these things, but it's going to be out of that loving relationships. It's not because of, you know, the aspect of him being the Supreme Lord or being the Super Soul or, you know, being the universal form or any of these aspects. It's because of just the affection the cowherd boys have for him, and then that's being reciprocated. So we see in Braj that all the elements that are there within the cosmos are all represented there in Braj, but just in there where they belong. They're not more. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? They're just how much is required, you know, to add to the flavor and everything like that. So then everything becomes perfect and balanced. That's why then it's so nice, so attractive, is Vrindavan, is because everything is so perfectly balanced there. Right? And so other realms means you're looking at another aspect more. But Vrindavan means everything is there, but perfectly balanced. Does that make sense? That's the uniqueness of Braj. Because Krishna is everything, and so therefore what he himself would like to do, you know, that's what goes on in Vrindavan. And then when you have the considerations of other aspects of what devotees would like to do, though they're all, because it's all within the capacity of what's there, then those are all the expansions. Right? You taste this aspect, you taste that aspect, you know, and so all these different, they have their flavors. But when all those flavors are together in that perfect balance, then that's Vrindavan. You know, so something might just have this little point that it does there. While in another pastime, it's the major aspect of the incarnation. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Braj is just perfectly balanced, perfectly wonderful. You know, it's all special, sweet, and, you know, most amazing. So that's there. Everything else is also, but Braj is more. Does that make sense? So it has all the natural, the best things, because you can expand unlimitedly the variety, but that variety that then fits in with this flavor, that's what's done, because we have to remember unlimited is unlimited. So it's not that there's only a particular line of unlimited things you can do, because in Braj he's doing things unlimitedly, in Dwarka he's doing things unlimitedly, in Vaikunthi he's doing things unlimitedly. So the point is it's not that, okay, Radharani never cooks anything twice, but, you know, Lakshmi's run out of recipes, so she's using one of the ones that Radharani already cooked and all that. You know, no, it's a different flavor, different mood. It's unlimited itself. Right? You know, just like you take Hiranyagarbha, right? So Garbha Dakshai Vishnu. There's unlimited universes, and that's all in one breath. The next breath will be another unlimited universes. Beautiful. So for Krishna, then, these things are taken care of in the, you know, very nice, sweet, attractive ways. Well, in other incarnations, the aspect of majesty or these, you know, other aspects like that, that becomes the prominence. But in here, no, it's just the sweetness. But it has that aspect. Right? We see in Bhagavatam, you know, he is the, you know, fear is how the whole universe works. And fear, and then what's Yamaraj, you know, fears Krishna. That's why he does his duties. But here it's not so. Therefore, he's the controller of fear, and there he wants to, just in this very nice way, take care of it. You know, if it's by majesty or this or that, he'll send all of his, you know, people, Garuda, Hanuman, Vishrakshena, you know, they'll all go take care of it. Right? But no, he just takes care of himself personally. In a sense. So Braj is another thing. It's the completeness of that sweetness of Krishna and his relationship with the devotees. Srila Prabhupada comments, in the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in this material world. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha tasyat. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this material world of fear becomes hardly dangerous at all. Because the point is, what's the danger? To forget Krishna. So one can always remember Krishna, as seen by Prahlad Maharaj. You generally will not get worse situations in the material world than Sri Prahlad had to go through. Right? And so he can remember Krishna, or, you know, difficult. You won't have worse family problems than Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he was Krishna conscious all the way through. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, it works out.
Among the devotees' prayers, you see, are like two types. One of that is how Prahlad Maharaj prayed that I fear, like, not only of not being Krishna conscious, I may be distracted. Another prayer is, now that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, I don't even worry about anything with Maya. I don't even worry about.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of, if you're going to talk about fear, that's what I fear, for love. But if I take shelter of your lotus feet, then what's the fear? Is that okay? So it's just a matter of bringing out two aspects of the same thing. You know? Yeah. So that's the thing, is that the devotee, by taking shelter of Krishna, then all difficulties, all that, that's all overcome. You know? So you see, like Dhruva Maharaj, because he surrendered to Krishna, when he was mounting the swan airplane to go to Vaikuntha, then the airplane's up a bit. He needs a step to be able to step up. Who's there and acts as a step? Right? Death personified. Right? So therefore, then, he's stepping over death to go to Vaikuntha. So what's the fear? You know? So that's the thing. You take shelter of the Lord, it's all there. So they've taken full shelter of the Lord. So there's nothing to fear, because Krishna takes care. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Right? Because he's pleasing his friends, he's going out and doing a good job, right? You know, and so he wants to be thorough, right? Srila Prabhupada comments, the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8, assert that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasyakara Yamkara Namcha Vidyate, because he is doing everything through his energies and potencies. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaya Shruyate, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1365, purport. Nonetheless, here we see that he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy, right? Because he could just figure out what's going on just by sitting there and get his energies to take care of it, because he's Satya Sankalpa. So whatever he wants will happen. But just to please his friends, because remember, it's about the rasa, it's about making the endeavor through which the rasa is tasted. He goes out personally to take care of it. Right? There's so much more flavor there. It's not about efficiency, it's about the relationship. Right? Let us say the big man is there, right? And so many people come to his office. And even big people come to his office. And they come and present, you know, their need or their whatever's going on. And in that, then you know, he calls the secretary or calls this one or that one, tells them what to do, you know, the bigger the guy, the more, you know, in front of him, and make sure they understand and it's serious so the person will be satisfied and like that. And he takes care of everything. And this way everybody's happy. But let's say it's a family member or something like that. He takes care of it himself. Right? The other one, he calls in and says, yeah, call up this guy and, you know, tell him this, and, you know, he owes us a favor, and, you know, so many things like that. And so then they'll continue the, you know, the formal talk. But if it's someone who's close, he'll go on the phone himself and call him and work it out and say, okay, there, you know, so. You understand? Because it's about relationship. So that's the whole thing. Krishna has nothing to do. So all he does is in endeavor in activities that bring out the relationship. Because he has nothing to do. All these things will happen just because he desires them to happen. It's not that he has to desire and then sit there and grit his teeth and, you know, like that. No, he just desires it. It's done. So he himself personally gets involved. Okay?
Nandini.
Oh, Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. All the affairs of the entire world and the entire cosmic manifestation are working under his direction through his different energies. Still, when there's a need to take care of his friends, he does this personally. Right? So he maintains the whole universe by his will, but his friends he takes care of personally. Verses 15 to 17. Lord Brahma steals the cowherd boys and calves. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now the same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus, he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was. Footnote 18. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur assigns verse 15 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. It's interesting to note is that all these other parts of the, you know, the Sambandha and Abhideya, then they get, you know, a mention quite, you know, fairly regularly through the nine cantos. And then we'll see how that goes in 11 and 12. But we see here this Prayojana section, it's like every chapter there's a few. Well, before it might be every few chapters there's a verse. Or maybe one chapter there'll be two or three, and then many chapters without. Mm-hmm. So So you can see is just the element of rasa between Krishna and the devotees is you know, has its fullness on that platform of prema. That's the point. Because in other places he's interacting with devotees according to their position. It's not necessarily prema. But the point is how you surrender, he reciprocates, and that's nicely proven throughout all the cantos. But here you see it's those who are fully surrendered, then Krishna is fully reciprocated. And so everything is just based on this rasa. So to have all this done, Krishna is having a fun time here. He can stop Brahma, but he's letting it all happen. Right? You know, the Yoga Maya is arranging, so he's thought of a new pastime. One, he's thought of a new pastime with Agasura. You know, is that all before is he just stays his regular size and is extending his energies, does everything. But here, now he can extend himself because, you know, it's not going to have a problem. Right? Who's going to know? The demigods will know, but, you know, they understand these things. Like Varaha came out, you know, of Lord Brahma's nose and then expanded up to take up, what was it, like half the universe or something, or a quarter of the universe, something very large. Right, so they're used to that kind of happening. You know, he's God; it happens, right? You know. So here now he comes out with some new pastime. That's the whole point: is it's always new and fresh. And so how he'll do it here will be slightly different than he did it last time. You know what I'm saying? So that's why there'll always be that slight difference of flavor. The pastime basically is the same, but there'll be some slight adjustments. Does that make sense? So like that. That's the unlimited, you know, aspect. Srila Prabhupada comments, when Agasura was being killed by Krishna, who was accommodated by his associates, accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there, right? Because here he's seeing the Lord do great activities that kill Agasura, which the demigods are afraid of, yes. Right? That's why it said that they were hiding behind the clouds and watching. They weren't going to get too close, you know, like yes. That. Make sure that they drink enough, you know, Amrita before going and watching, just in case, right? You know, so. That then, okay, God does these things and that he can do these, that they can't, they're all amazed. But then he's just playing the part of a simple cowherd boy. That's an amazement that they don't know how to relate to, because for the demigods, he's Paramatma. So he's God. Right? That's the whole thing. The Yadu dynasty, he's Paramatma. Yes.
So among the demigods, you know, Srila Prabhupada often comments that, you know, the large amount of them are neophytes.
Yes.
And then we know that the Shivaji, she's an Uttam Adhikari.
Yes.
Vaishnavana Vatashambhu. And then the Brahma seems to be like a Madhyam Adhikari.
Yes.
But then still he can figure out, you know, the Balkeli and the Sarvagya. He can put it together.
It has to be revealed. It's like Vyasadeva. Right? He understood, you know, the four Vaishnava philosophies. And he's written the, how do you say? You know, he's done all his work up to that point. But he hadn't realized the Chintabheda Veda Tattva. So it's by Narad Muni's grace, then that's understood. So these things will be learned. And so then at this point, then it's understood. You know, because it's just, yes, they know that all the there, but then, you know, he's talking about Braj Leela, but, you know, it's about Tattva. So the Prayojana aspect of that, he, you know, he'll have an idea. That's why he says he has an idea of his position, who he is, and how everything works. But that's the whole thing, is an idea, so then you work on the proper philosophy, proper culture, and everything like that. So then here, then you see it will be revealed. So it's Krishna's arrangements, because Yoga Maya is there. So then things will happen, just like Arjuna. He's a pure devotee, but by Yoga Maya's arrangement, then he becomes bewildered. You know, so for us, it's not a problem, because we know it's just part of the relationship of Krishna with the devotees, and he does this, and it works out very nicely. But like for the Madhvas, this chapter, they don't deal with.
They don't have to.
Yeah, it's just gone. You know? you know, maybe killing Agasura, and then after that, then, you know, they'll all go home and then tell about the pastime. So in between, that's gone. Because that, you know, for them, how does the head this? But the point is it's all Krishna and Krishna's yoga maya. So if they can accept that Arjuna can get bewildered, why not everybody else? But whatever, it's just that's their flavor, and so that's the way it works. You know? So that's the point, achinta beta beta tattva, we can deal with both. We don't have a problem that both can be there. So that's the uniqueness. That's why it takes a little bit longer to catch. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. In Brahma Samhita also, Brahma is playing Krishna as Surabhi Rajpal.
Yes, yes. But he understands about the things, but he'll be looking at one or the other. His greatness or, you know, but it's that fullness of it, then he'll only see after. It's like you have that story where Brahma goes to Dwarka. And then when he gets there, he says he wants to see Krishna. Brahma has come. And they say, have a seat, we'll go ask. And then the messenger comes back and he asks, which one? It's kind of like, what do you mean, which one? You know, in the universe, I'm it. You know, what do you mean, which Brahma? And so at that time, then all these other Brahmas start coming. Right? And our Brahma is the smallest Brahma. He only has four heads. These other ones, they have many, many more heads. And so then it's like, whoa, okay. Then everything balances. So that's the whole thing. We can't get that pride. We can't. You know, Krishna doesn't appreciate that. Okay. That's why it says the sixth symptom of surrender is that being meek and humble. Right? So that's the symptom of an advancement. We're thinking it. No, you know, I've got attitude, and that's why I'm advanced. No, meek and humble always. That's the symptom. Right. Thus, he became entangled in Krishna's Maya, right? Because he'll control a lot of the material energy, but he has to understand is that where does his power come from? It comes from Krishna's energy. And so even up to here, as we'll see in the pastime, even Balaram's Maya, you know, he doesn't control Krishna's Maya. So it means, in other words, Balaram's Maya is an expansion of Krishna's Maya, and Balaram's Maya controls everybody. But Krishna's Maya is beyond. So therefore he can understand something's there, but he can't understand the details. He can go by symptoms, like that. So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, as he expands. So therefore, let's say Advaitacharya, then his dealing with Maya, you know, Yoga Maya, Mahamaya there, he won't necessarily understand Nityananda Prabhu. That's why he considers him an avadhu. He can't understand. You know, and so then they have good fun, right? Like that. So it's just part of their relationship. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambo Janma Janihi. He was born of Amboja, a lotus flower, right? So he's born from there. Because then lotus flower is then the seat of how you say? Virat, which has the principle of half male, half female. So all the elements of the universal form are there, and based on that blueprint is how he prints the universe. So he's born from the universal form, and the universal form is the material incarnation of the Lord. Right? So that's why he said he's born materially. Right? It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material, right? So he's saying, but he has no father, he's this and that. No, but it's still a lotus. Right? And anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, the tendency to commit mistakes. Pramada, the tendency to be illusioned. Viparlipsa, the tendency to cheat. And karana patava, imperfect senses. Thus Brahma also became entangled. Right? It's by Krishna's will. Right, because he's being entangled in Krishna's pastime with Krishna. But it's still, that has that aspect of illusion. But there's no fault in it, because it's not based on lust. Yes. It's based on his connection with Krishna, but it doesn't have as deep an understanding as the Brajavasis. Yes. So, therefore, it'll have those qualities as if it's a fault. But actually, it's still. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible. And instead he took away Amaya Sita. Similarly, Brahmaway took away Mayar Bhaktaha, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayar Bhaktaha, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. Right? Because Brahma, being a demigod, he's an expansion of his associates. You understand? Because Krishna and his close associates, all that, they're all the main people. Mm-hmm. You know, so as he expands, they expand. Like that. So Brahma, being a major player in Krishna's material pastimes, or pastimes of the material world, then he's expanding from potencies of either an individual or combination or whatever it is of his associates. So how could he have any potency over his own source, which is actually quite a distance back? Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So he's coming from Garbhadaksha, who's coming from Karanadaksha, who's coming from Vasudev, who's coming from Balaram, who's coming from like this. Right? So at some point these associates come out that, you know, it comes down. So it's not possible, but for the pastime, it appears that way.
So now, if he did not steal the real boy and calf, so what has he done? The real, can say, gopa and calf, they were out for 1 year. But what?
But he can't steal them, because the pastimes always go on. It's just like, do we ever ask what happened to the real Sita? No. It's one of those, you know, it's just arranged like this. You know, like that. So it's just Krishna's having fun like this. But they're, the Lord and his associates, they're eternally related. So how that carries on, that's another, but it's not important for this pastime. It does carry on. So, that he would see in the very new future, that Mayar Bhaktasya I Shituhu. This bewilderment, this Maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavataha, the all-potent Supreme Person, Krishna. And we shall see the result. Anyone material born is subject to bewilderment. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vimohana Lila, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Mohitam Nabi Janati Mam e Bhyaf Param Avyayam, Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muyanti Yatsurayaha Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Everyone from Brahma down to the small insect must take lessons from Krishna. But, so it's not a bad thing. We see he won't be upset by it, just like when Shiva was overcome by Mohini's Maya. Then he's not, even though he arranged it in such a way to be very embarrassing, still he just saw this is the potency of the Lord, because he can keep everybody else in control, but Krishna can control him. Mm-hmm. And so then he appreciates that. So Brahma will appreciate that.
It means that Brahma, he accepts to be an instrument in the end of Krishna.
Yes, but at this point now he's forgetting that by Krishna's Maya. Like that. So that's the.
But it seems that many people have some their own Maya.
They're in Maya.
No, but many people like Krishna, Balaram.
Yes, because it's their energy. In other words, Shaktiman always has Shakti. So if there's Shaktiman, there's the Shakti. The Shakti is the Maya. right?
Yes.
So with Krishna, it's Yogamaya. With us, it's Mahamaya. Right? Because you have Sita, and so she's Krishna's Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she's acting on the transcendental platform. But Ravana also wants Sita,
mm-hmm.
but he can't have Sita, so he gets material Maya. You know what I'm saying? But she still performs, because it's an expansion, she still performs everything in character. But, you know, because they're always performing their pastimes together, so they can't be separated.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a taste to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
So, something. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, "Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he also was unable to see the cowherd boys. So he looked everywhere for the calves, couldn't find them. Coming back to the river where he left the boys, now the boys are gone." Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what happened. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the cows. But as an innocent child, he searched here and there so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's Maya." Because otherwise, if he just sat there and then looked up in the direction of Brahma and said, "Okay, you know, come on," there's kind of, "Oh, no," it wouldn't be such a fun pastime. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. Right? That's the whole point of the play, is that the person acts in that part. You know, and so if he, it's like, let us say you have an actor, right? And they're performing in you know, a play. Right? So, you know, an amateur play, you may do it once or that, but these professional plays, it runs on Broadway, you know, months, years, like that. I'm not even sure that Oh Calcutta is not still running, right? You know, so like that. So, like that, that means, do they know how it's going to work out? Yes. But still, they look surprised, and, you know, how is this, you know, does that make sense? You know, Macbeth is surprised every time that somebody's behind the curtain, and, you know, and stuff like that. And he talks to Horatio's, you know, skull, and, you know, understand? So, all these things happen. But that's the point, is it's a drama.
Mm-hmm.
So we go there and just put ourselves under that Maya, right? But they know, but they make the performance. But Krishna hears, then Brahma is thinking he's unfolding this whole thing. Krishna just goes along with it and plays the part, plays the role. And then we see is then there'll be the reversal, right? And so then it'll be Brahma who is, you know, yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "When Krishna was unable to find the calves and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma." Srila Prabhupada comments, "Although Krishna is Vishvavit, the knower of everything happening in the entire cause of the manifestation, as an innocent child he showed ignorance of Brahma's actions, although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma. This pastime is called Brahma Vimohana, the bewilderment of Brahma, not the bewilderment of Krishna. Brahma was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child." He's already, right? Because he couldn't understand how the Supreme, here's the Supreme Person, and he's just sitting there with the calves and he's holding some yogurt and fruit and that in his hand, right? Not even on the plate, and, you know, because otherwise, you know, it's God, you know, everything will be there and all the servants and the fans and the, you know, it's very opulent. So here he's just sitting there holding it in his hand, right? You know, Lakshmi would never allow that to happen, right? You know, it's like, you know, so,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, like that. And they're trading food and, you know, yeah.
In one place it said that he had a pickle in his finger.
He had a pickle also. Oh, okay, so you can eat and then taste the pickle. Oh, okay. So it was sweet, but he was eating some pickle along with it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can see where the Gujarati tradition came from. Yeah. Right? A little bit of salty, a lot of sweet. Right? Right? Okay. Oh, maybe that's it. Kutch is on the ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do more about sweets, and it's more important. They start with sweet, and then they eat salty sweet through the meal and with sweet. Well, as you go inland, you know, then they'll start with the salty and then go to sweet back and forth like that. And so when you mention to those who are more inland about starting with sweet, it's kind of like, what are you talking about? But the ones who are Kutchri, they're closer to the ocean, means closer to Dwarka. Right? Okay. Always wondered about this one. Now it's been revealed. Brahma was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child, and now he would be further bewildered, right? So he's already bewildered, and then on top of that, there'll be more bewilderment. And Krishna plays along so that it all plays out very nicely, right? Because there's more things happening here. There's also the things of how much affection all the elder gopis have, the cows, for Krishna, that then he comes as their children so that then they can personally show all that affection. Right? So there's so many things can go on. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Verses 18 to 27. So it's not that he just does this one, he does many things. Verses 18 to 27, the Vrajavasi's affection increases. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, just to create pleasure both for Brahma and the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cause of manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, while Brahma, bewildered by the Lord's energy, believed he had bewildered Krishna, Krishna returned home along with the calves and boys and began performing his pastimes such as eating, as if not bewildered by Brahma. This is not at all astonishing. In order to show his power of illusion of all people, even up to Balaram, in order to fulfill the desires of the gopas and gopis, to have Krishna as their own son, in order to bewilder Brahma and throw him into the ocean of dismay, in order to show him thousands of forms of Vasudeva, the objects of Brahma's devotion. Right? So everybody gets that increase of devotion. Having taught him the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna took the form of all the calves and boys. To give bliss to Lord Brahma and the mothers, he expanded himself into both the calves and boys. He could do this because he is the master of the Mahatattva, which creates the universe, Vishvakrit Ishwaraha. Right? So Brahma, he thinks he's controlling everything. But the point is Brahma's potency is coming from the Vishwaroop. So the Vishwaroop, so in that aspect, he can create anything he wants. He doesn't need Brahma. He just gives an opportunity for Brahma to take part like that, because, you know, living entities do that. And that way, then he does. But he can do it himself. So he also proves that point. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, by his Vasudeva feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves, right? Because why from the Vasudeva feature? You say, no, but why aren't they expanded from the Krishna feature and this and that and like that? But the whole point is he's going to interact with them. Otherwise, he's just interacting with himself. So therefore, Vasudeva being, having that other mood, and that then they can expand it as them nicely, and then they can all interact nicely. Because Vasudeva is a devotee of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it all works out nice, because otherwise, remember we had a few weeks ago the discussion, because we're worried, who are we expanded from? You know, this is going to look bad on my resume that I've expanded from Mahavishnu. You know, I got to have it right there that I'm expanded from Braja Krishna right here. Right? You know. So does that make sense? So that's the problem. So by his Vasudeva feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves. Right? Didn't miss out one. There wasn't an extra one. It kind of comes back and no mom comes out. No, what do I do? No, exact. Right? With their exact bodily features, their particular types of hands, legs, and other limbs, their sticks, bugles, and flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of dress and ornaments placed in various ways, their names, ages, and forms, and their special activities and characteristics. So what makes that child exactly that child? Right? Then, you know, here means it's a particular combination of the universal form. It says Krishna is a universal form. It's no problem creating that particular exact cowherd boy or calf. You know what I'm saying? But we, you know, if we ask, oh, but you know, this is the Lord's associates and all this and that. But then you have the aspect is that where do they come from? Right. So that means that the aspect of universal form comes from his internal potency, which makes all the variety. Therefore, it's still part of the varieties of the internal potency. Does that make sense? So the point is it's just, in other words, if you look at this, you want to deal with this mathematical aspect of it, then Vasudeva can deal with quite nicely. Krishna doesn't bother with the mathematical. That he just enjoys. Vasudeva deals with the mathematical. Right? Does that make sense? Because there's unlimited potency, so this particular combination then brings out that particular flavor. Right? And then from that you get all the variety that comes in that combination. Another cowherd boy, all the variety comes in that. And then there's unlimited cowherd boys. Right? By expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagat Vishnu Mayam. Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Footnote 19. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur assigns verses 18 to 19 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So Krishna is enjoying doing all these things. Taking that, making sure he does it exactly the way that cowherd boy. In other words, he likes that personality and nature of that cowherd boy. And so now he takes that and then plays that part. Right? So it's part of his pastime. And he does a good job so that all the parents and that, they're not thinking, you know, something wrong here. Like that. Srila Prabhupada comments, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 533, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovaram Cha. Krishna, Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Adyam, the beginning of everything. He is Adi Purusham, the ever youthful original person. He can expand himself in more forms than one can imagine, yet he does not fall down from his original position, form as Krishna. Therefore, he's called Achyuta, infallible. It means he does everything, he expands everything, he does everything. There's no mistake, it doesn't change his position. So he's infallible. Right? While we do anything, we're, you know, always messing it up, right? Yes.
So in this particular definition, it means that Krishna always remains Krishna. He never steps down.
No, but everything that's down is Krishna. That's the Achinta Beda Veda Tvata. It's all Krishna, but he never is not Krishna. So that's why he never leaves Vrindavan, but he goes to Mathura. So that particular mood that he manifests with the Brajabasis, that mood can't go outside of Vrindavan, because who Krishna interacts with how you deal with him. There's no one outside Braj that deals that way. So that mood that he has in Braj will not leave Vrindavan. So we can say Braja Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but Krishna goes outside of Vrindavan. When he goes out, he takes on the moods of the Mathura Vasis, Dwarka Vasis. Right? So that's the thing. So then you can say as you have Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, but they're not three separate personalities. They're one person, but he can only deal. It's just like at home, he deals one way. When he goes to the office, he deals another way, but he's not two different people. But for Krishna, he can do both at once. But it's still one person. Because we see in Dwarka, everybody refers to him as having grown up in Vrindavan. So they accept him as the same person, just the flavor will be different. So that's the way, he never leaves. So he's there in his bhav form. So everyone can appreciate and taste that, because the pastime's eternal. At the same time, there's that aspect of separation, because he's gone to Mathura. So So at this, I mean, this is where we're on the border of, that's as far as our brain can go. Because Krishna is unlimited and all these things are going on. And so then, because that's why happiness is unlimited. Because you're connecting yourself to the unlimited. And by the grace of the Krishna's internal potency, that's why we have to work under the internal potency. Therefore, we can taste that unlimited, even though we are not unlimited. We are finite. Basically, all other energies are unlimited. We're the only one that's not. You know? So, and this is our uniqueness, our specialness. I'm totally finite, right? All the other energies are unlimited, but I'm unique. I'm finite, right? You know. So, you know, find some way to get that specialness, that visesha, right? This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So just saying, that's the way it is. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Krishna thus proved he is everything, that he can become everything. But that still he is personally different from everything. Natstani Sarva Bhutani, Natchaham Teshva Vastitaha. Bhagavad Gita 9:4. This is Krishna, who is understood by a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva philosophy. Right? It's only by our philosophy you can understand these aspects. It means him as God, then Vishishadeva, Prashuddha Dwait, Dwaita Dwait, and Dwait, they will take care very nicely. You're situated very well there, and eternally you can be comfortable. But to understand Braja Krishna and these aspects, then without a Chinta Beda Beda Tattva, it will not be understood. So even the other Sampradayas look at the Vrindavan pastimes, they're actually seeing, they're actually dealing with lower Goloka. It's Vrindavan pastimes, but it's done by Krishna as a Vishnumurti. You know, it has the sweetness, there's Radha, it has the village setting and all that, and the dancing, and all, everything's like that the same, but we see the flavor is different. So that's why it's not Braja. That's why we'll go to the point of saying Braja Krishna. Because when we're dealing with this, we're talking about these specific flavors. Right? So that's the... You know, that's why we don't have the problem, because... Where were we? Oh, that he is everything. So the devotee is connected to Krishna. Krishna is connected with everything. And so all the devotees that are pleasing him, that happiness, we can be connected to. That's why it's unlimited. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not just Krishna being happy with all the specific service we're connected to. It's Krishna being happy from all the services that are going on and all the unlimited pastimes. Does that make sense? Yes.
Sometimes as devotees, we feel that we don't even connect with limited happiness.
It says on the bottle, enjoy, but hey, what's going on here, you know? It's just a matter of as we connect to Krishna, then there's more. As we don't, then there's less. Because the material world, only a very small amount of potency is there. And even that is only according to what you have worked for, what you've paid for by your good work, by good karma. And so that's why if we find it's limited, because our piety is limited. That's just the reality. But in devotional service, then that has that capacity of unlimited. Now, because of being used to things and the element of the conditioning, then we may not notice how much more the happiness is and how much greater it is, just because we have put the value on it. Right? You know, it's just like for the small child, they value their, you know, whatever it is, their teddy bear or whatever. But in reality, how much is that teddy bear worth? You know, put it up on eBay, how much are you going to get for it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that for them, it's the whole thing. But as you step back, you see things in a balance. Does that make sense? So we're taking, oh, this is going, this is coming. No, but that's in the material world, that is. But in the spiritual world, the material still stays at whatever's the happiness you can get from it. But the spiritual is more. But because we may value the material, we may notice it and focus on it more than we will on the spiritual. But if we actually sit and compare the happiness, okay, at that kirtan that was so nice and the happiness I got, and then take that and in the same frame, you know, just split the frame, and in the other side you put the happiness I got from something material that I thought was very special, and you start to compare, and there's no comparison. But when we only look at the one side, it looks so great. Right? And we look at the other, then, you know, we don't see so much difference because, you know, Krishna's reciprocating as we're surrendering. Right? But if you compare the two, the material and the spiritual, then you see they just don't compare. Of course, we forget that quickly, even though we figured it out. So it's still, so when that comes to the point of vidyan, then it's just we're just committed to the spiritual. We don't care for the material because there's nothing to gain anyway from that side. And the other side is pleasing Krishna is more valuable than what we could get in the material world. So as long as we value Krishna and the material world, that's mixed devotional service. We'll go back and forth. But as soon as it's only Krishna and no material world, then we see these things go away. Does that make sense? Does that work? Yeah. Okay, then what do we do here? I don't know. Fourth line of which?
The first record.
First record, okay. Oh, this Krishna who is understood by Achintabhedabheda, this is Krishna who is understood by Achintabhedabheda Tattva philosophy. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate, Isho Upanishad, invocation. Krishna is always complete, and although he can create millions of universes, all of them full in all opulences, he remains as opulent as ever without any change. Advaitam. So that's the thing is, he does something, he doesn't become less. Like we do things, we run out of energy, we run out of ideas, we run out of facilities. But Krishna, he can expand unlimitedly and he's still the same. That's why he doesn't fall down from his position. Right? So he can expand as all the cowherd boys and still just be himself. And it's not a problem that he has to remember what everybody does and all that and he gets mixed up or anything like that. But, you know, he starts to have a nervous tic or something. You know, no, it doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, yes. This is explained by different Vaishnava acharyas through philosophies such as Vishuddha Dwait, Vishishta Dwait, and Dwait Advait. Therefore, one must learn about Krishna from the acharyas. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who follows the path of the acharyas knows things as they are. Okay. Such a person can know Krishna as he is, at least to some extent. And as soon as one understands Krishna, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tattva taha, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, one is liberated from material bondage. Chakva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. Right? So we have to learn from the acharyas. They understand it. How they give it is how we take it. And what they're giving is what that flavor that you'll understand, you'll go to that place because of that flavor. So what Ramanuja is teaching then explains Krishna, but it'll take you to that place where Ramanuja is serving. Madhva, where he's serving. You know, Vishnu sound like this, where they're serving. But what is being done, by Achintabhedabheda Tattva, is given by Lord Chaitanya, that will take you to Braj. With that. Same Krishna, just the different flavors. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Now expanding himself so that as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appear as their leader. Krishna entered Brajabhumi, right? It's not that he expanded as them and now there was no more Krishna. Right? He came as himself, leading, coming back with them and everything. As the leader, Krishna entered Brajabhumi, the land of his father, Nanda Maharaj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna usually stayed in the forest and pasturing ground, taking care of the calves and cows with his associates, the cowherd boys. Now that the original group had been taken away by Brahma, Krishna himself assumed the forms of every member of the group without anyone's knowledge, even the knowledge of Baladev, and continued the usual program. He was ordering his friends to do this and that, and he was controlling the calves and going into the forest to search for them when they went astray, allured by new grass. But these calves and boys were he himself. This was Krishna's inconceivable potency. As explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. Radha and Krishna are the same. Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became all the calves and boys and enjoyed transcendental bliss in Brajabhumi. This was done by the Yoga Maya potency and was inconceivable to persons under the potency of Mahamaya. Right, because he didn't understand, so therefore then he's under the Krishna's Maya. So the point is, being said, it's not a problem that he can interact with the cowherd boys, though they're expanded from himself, because Radharani is non-different from himself. The point is the whole creation is non-different from him, at the same time as he can interact with it. Because he's conscious, everything expanding from him is conscious. He's complete and perfect, everything expanding has that. But the point is everything is connected to him. So everybody except the conditioned jivas keeps that connection in place. Only the conditioned jivas try to separate that connection. Therefore, they're an illusion. Everybody else knows it, but they still... but they act within their capacity. So, make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, Krishna, who had divided himself as different calves and also as different cowherd boys, entered different cow sheds as the calves and then different homes as different boys. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately arose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna. The Para Brahman and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. Srila Prabhupada comments, although all the elderly gopis knew that Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, they still desired, if Krishna had become my son, I would also have taken care of him like Mother Yashoda. This was their inner ambition. Now, in order to please them, Krishna personally took the role of their sons and fulfilled their desire. They enhance their special love for Krishna by embracing him and feeding him, right? Because they have that love for Krishna and they express it with Krishna as the son of Mother Yashoda. But now that he's come as their own sons, then they don't actually know, but they're expressing that love for Krishna how they would like, right? In this way. And Krishna tasted their breast milk to be just like a nectarian beverage. While thus bewildering, Brahma enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yoga Maya between all the other mothers and himself. Right? Brahma's going on in his illusion. He's thinking he's done all this and he's going to be interested to see, you know, because he's going to leave it for a moment and see what Krishna does, because, you know, he's supposed to be special. Let's see what he does, right? Because here's Brahma, this senior most living entity of the universe, expanding his yogic powers, right? And so then he's interested to see what does this kid do with that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, O Maharaj Parikit, as required according to the scheduled round of his pastimes, Krishna returned in the evening, entered the house of each of the cowherd boys, and engaged exactly like the former boys, thus enlivening the mothers with transcendental pleasure. The mothers took care of the boys by massaging them with oil, bathing them, smearing their bodies with sandalwood pulp, decorating them with ornaments, chanting protective mantras, decorating your bodies with tilak, and giving them food. In this way, the mothers serve Krishna personally. Thereafter, all the boys entered their different sheds and began mooing loudly. What did I say?
Boys.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thereafter, all the cows entered their different sheds and began mooing loudly, calling their respective calves. When the calves arrived, the mothers began licking the calves' bodies again and again, and profusely feeding them with the milk flowing from their milk bags. Previously, from the very beginning, the gopis had motherly affection for Krishna. Indeed, their affection for Krishna exceeded even their affection for their own sons. In displaying their affection, they had thus distinguished between Krishna and their sons. But now that distinction disappeared. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The motherly affection of the mothers and cows for Krishna remained as before, but the love for him had been greater than their love for their own children and calves. But now when Krishna became their sons and calves, the love for their sons and calves became equal to that for Krishna." Right? So it's not that it switched. It just became the same. So the love for Krishna in the pastimes when Mother Yashoda, that remained the same as it was before. But now that love for their sons became the same as that. It's not that it switched over and now they forgot about Mother Yashoda and her kid, right? Krishna's affection as a child towards the mothers was the same as before. But from the commencement of the Brahma Vimohana pastime, Krishna became their sons in actuality. Mayaya Vina. It may be objected that Krishna, in the form of the cowherd boys, should have had the same affection for their mothers as the actual boys, since the verse says that Krishna took up the exactly the character, dress, form, age of each cowherd boy. But though Krishna is supreme, and everyone from Brahma to even his personal expansions are dependent on him, he is dependent on prema. Prema is not dependent on him. He cannot control or restrict prema. Sridhar Swami says, "This irregularity is difficult to prevent in Krishna. Since uncontrollable prema was in the hearts of the mothers towards Krishna in the form of their sons, thus Krishna in the form of their sons forgot his powers of God as he took up the role of their sons and remained dependent upon them, like a commander next to the king." Right? Does that make sense? So, he expanded as who? Yes, but which form of him did he expand? Did they expand from?
Vasudev.
So Vasudev's God, right? But because Krishna is controlled by prema, not that prema, Krishna controls prema. Mm-hmm. Therefore, because the mothers dealt with their sons exactly the way that they dealt with Krishna in that same love, then Krishna being controlled by that love, then it was functioning on the same platform, reciprocated with that same affection, but in the mood and nature and everything, like the boy itself, the specific boy. You understand? Because otherwise it would be saying, well, as God, he would just deal exactly as the sons dealt, as he would deal, and the mothers would deal back in the exact same way. So the love between the mother and the sons would remain the same, and that love for those mothers for Krishna would remain in that position. But we see as the love that the mothers showed their sons increased up to the level like Krishna. So it was the same, because Krishna is controlled by love. Because they were dealing with Krishna, not dealing with their sons. But by yoga maya, no one knows this. Does that make sense? So that's the... One should not say that such dependence is a fault, that Krishna is dependent upon prema, but not the other way. Rather, it is Krishna's ornament, that being the supreme controller of everything, he himself willingly puts himself under control of his energy. As dependence of the jiva on maya is the cause of his sorrow, so Krishna's dependence on prema is the cause of ever-increasing bliss. That's the slight difference that's there. Right? This is the realization of the great devotees. Right? So we have to hear from them. We can't make things up. Right? So that's why, what is it? Acharyavan, Purusho, Veda. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, although the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, the cowherd men and cowherd women, previously had more affection for Krishna than for their own children, now, for 1 year, their affection for their own sons continuously increased, for Krishna had now become their sons. There was no limit to the increment of their affection for their sons, who are now Krishna. Every day they found new inspiration for loving their children as much as they love Krishna. In this way, so you get all this variety, because they're all going to deal with so much variety with Krishna as the son or mother Yashoda. But as the sons now of all the cowherd men and women, then again there's going to be all that variety. One, you have all these unlimited cowherd boys, so you have variety there. Then within that pastime between Krishna as the boy and his parents, there'll be variety there again. So it's just, it increases the variety. In this way, Lord Krishna, having himself become the cowherd boys and groups of calves, maintained himself by himself. Right? Yeah, Thus he continued his pastimes, both in Vrindavan and in the forest, for 1 year. Footnote 20. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 26 to 27 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Srila Prabhupada comments, everything was Krishna. The calves, the cowherd boys, and their maintainer himself were all Krishna. In other words, Krishna expanded himself in varieties of calves and cowherd boys and continued his pastimes uninterrupted for a year. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's expansion is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. Similarly, instead of expanding himself as the Supersoul, he expanded himself as a portion of calves and cowherd boys for one continuous year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the pastimes, whatever would go on in the village, all that went on perfectly as it normally would. And then when he would go out into the forest with the cowherd boys and the calves, again, it would go on exactly in the same way. Does that make sense? Yes.
So, technically speaking, the sky bath remained the same. And then within the bath, the vishai changed, and then the whole rasa increased.
Yes, yes. So it was that the vibhava, the udipan that they would see in Krishna, they were seeing in their own son, because it's Krishna. And so then all that transcendental ecstasy they would feel in interacting with Krishna, they're getting from dealing with the son. Yes, like you said.
Maharaj?
Yes.
You guys mentioned that even for the entire 1 year, Krishna was taking the calves and the calves
yes.
boys into the forest.
Right.
So then the boys and the calves were Krishna himself, okay?
Yes.
So then can you say that Krishna himself is acting as both Ashray as well as Vishay?
Yes, you can, but what is happening here? Because remember the example Prabhupada gave before. He mentioned Radharani as non-different. So when we say Radharani, would we bring up the point, so Krishna is the Ashray and the Vishar? No. You understand? Because we're keeping the thing is that he's aware that he's the cowherd boys and all that, and there he's just kind of doing it and looking over his shoulder. Is anybody checking? Is Brahma checking us out yet? And, no, he's just going on as just this everything's perfect because they're already his expansions. So he just does it, you know, he just has arranged like this. So that's the point because these associates are eternal. Does that make sense? So therefore it goes on. But because he himself as Krishna is doing, therefore then it works out. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, there would generally be expansions of Balaram. Right? Because the Shakya Ras is expanded from Balaram. Like that. But here it's expanded from Krishna. That's why then the flavor of dealing with their own sons is like dealing with Krishna. He may do that from that feature of Vasudeva, but it's still Krishna. He's doing that. He's not doing that with Balaram. He's not not that as Balaram. Then he's expanding his Vasudeva. Then he's doing no. He is Krishna. Is just doing his Vasudeva. That's why Balaram is left out of the loop here. Right. Verses 28 to 39. Lord Balaram becomes suspicious. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. One day, five or six nights before the completion of the year, Krishna tending the calves entered the forest along with Balaram. Thereafter, while pasturing atop Govardhan Hill, the cows looked down to find some green grass and saw their calves pasturing near Vrindavan, not very far away. When the cows saw their own calves from the top of Govardhan Hill, they forgot themselves and their caretakers because of increased affection. And although the path was very rough, they ran towards their calves with great anxiety, each running as if with one pair of legs. Right? So, means they're running down Govardhan Hill. They're not walking down carefully. They're running through the affection. You know, cows generally are quite smart. They never take any risks. They're quite sober. Their milk bags full and flowing with milk. Their heads and tails raised. Right? So when they raise tails, it's generally in an open place where there's something, they jump around, there's some nice grass, nice flowers, some nice things they might do. But this is running down Govardhan. Right? And their humps moving with their necks. They ran forcefully until they reached their calves to feed them. The cows had given birth to new calves, but while coming down from Govardhan Hill, the cows, because of increased affection for the older calves, allowed the older calves to drink milk from the milk bags and then began licking the calves' bodies in anxiety, as if wanting to swallow them. Right? So, we see as they've already had another set of calves, so now all the affection would go to the new calves. But it's not. It's with these older calves. And these older calves are going out and eating grass, so they don't need to drink milk. But they're coming down and feeding them milk. Right? We start to see the suspicion. Why would this come up? He says, no, but it's been a year. Couldn't Balaram figure it out? Where do the calves go in the morning? I mean, when they come back in the evening, where do the calves go? Right? To the cowherd shed. And where do the boys go? To their homes. So does Balaram see them? No. You understand? So otherwise, why is it Balaram didn't know for a year? Because they go home. He doesn't see what's the interaction there, the cows with the calves in the sheds.
And the mothers and the children also.
Yes, yes. And they've all gone home, so therefore then he won't see. Right? The cowherd men, having been unable to check the cows from going to their calves, felt simultaneously ashamed and angry. Right? Because they're men, they take care of the cows, they can stop the cows, they can take care of this. So they're ashamed that they couldn't, and they're angry because now the calves will drink all the milk, right? They crossed the rough road with great difficulty, but when they came down and saw their own sons, they were overwhelmed by great affection, right? So then again, now they, right? You know. At that time, all the thoughts of the cowherd men merged in the mellow of paternal love, which was aroused by the sight of their sons, right? That's the Vibhava, right? Experienced a great attraction, their anger completely disappearing. They lifted their sons, embraced them in their arms, and enjoyed the highest pleasure by smelling their sons' heads. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when the cows were running down from the top of Govardhan Hill, the men who were taking care of them tried to stop them. Older cows are taken care of by the men, and the calves are taken care of by the boys. And as far as possible, the calves are kept separate from the cows, so that the calves do not drink all the available milk. Therefore, the men who are taking care of the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill tried to stop them. Right? So it's just like this. Someone may say, just as a side point, just because, you know, how you say, we're still in the material world. You know? But, you know, but it's unnatural. Why are they stopping the calves from drinking all the milk and all that? Right? You know, they should let the cows drink all the milk and all that, so, you know, humans don't need to drink the milk. That's for the calves and all that. Then we could give an example. Now, the mother produces, like the cow produces so much milk, right? And a portion of that's for the calf. right? But only a portion. Not that the calf can't drink all the milk. We say, no, but he can drink all the milk. That doesn't mean he should be. Just like when the mother, when she cooks cookies, does she cook just one or two cookies for that boy to eat at that one time? She cooks a whole bunch of cookies. Does that mean the kid should eat them all? So that's how the cows, calves, and the milk go. So, yeah. Therefore, the men who are taking care of the cows on top of Govardhan Hill tried to stop them, but they failed. Baffled by their failure, they were feeling ashamed and angry. They were very unhappy, but when they came down and saw their children taking care of the calves, they all of a sudden became very affectionate towards the children. It was very astonishing. Although the men came down disappointed, baffled, and angry, as soon as they saw their own children, their hearts melted with great affection. At once their anger, dissatisfaction, and happiness disappeared. They began to show paternal love for the children, and with great affection they lifted them in their arms and embraced them. They began to smell their children's heads and enjoy their company with great happiness. After embracing their children, the men took the cows back to the top of Govardhan Hill. Right, so they all came down, showed that affection, both the cows and the cowherd men. And then after all that was there, then, you know, because they are out in the field, so then the cows and that, they all go back to Govardhan, and then the cowherd boys continue with the calves. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the elderly cowherd men, having obtained great feeling from embracing their sons, gradually and with great difficulty and reluctance ceased embracing them and returned to the forest. But as the men remembered their sons, tears began to roll down from their eyes. Because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment, even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. Right? So they weren't, but they still had that affection. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it. And thus he began to consider as follows. Right? So it's by Krishna's arrangement that it would happen. Otherwise Krishna could keep it. But he wanted to, you know, Balaram to, you know, understand what's going on.
When Krishna expanded his voice and the cars, then Balaram, because he has that kind of affection for Krishna, did he not have the same affection as he had for Krishna for the boys as well as the cows? I mean, technically he should have had, because he was Krishna.
Technically he should have. Because according to the to the logical calculation. You know what I'm saying? Question is Balaram, then the cowherd boys are there, and so Balaram interacts with the cowherd boys. And so then, should Balaram not have the same flavor for the boys as for Krishna? And so then, that way, then he would know. Right? Because according to the technical calculation, that's the way it should be.
Because the same thing applied for the parents, right? And for the cows also. So that should apply to Balaram also.
But it should apply to Balaram, because why should it apply to Balaram? Is Balaram not the independent Supreme Lord himself? So why does it have to apply to him? Yes, so that's the whole point, is that one has to, is, you know, it means the question may come up, but one should, what just say is that it appears this way. Don't say that technically it should be this way, because the point is, as you get into technically, it's not so technical. You understand? So, in other words, we're going into it, and logically, it means we look at it and try to analyze it, and then according to our understanding, we come up with different things, because that's the whole point, is if you're going to deal with any thought, right, it has to be categorized first, right? So that's what memory's for. You categorize it. Having categorized it, now you know how to deal with it. According to this category, I will analyze it. Then, having reduced it down to the category, now I'll take it out and expand on that. What can I do with it? That's how reasoning works. Right? And then, according to my identity, I'll choose one, and then that's what you'll do. Right? That's why if you change my identity, then you change which one you choose, or why you chose it. Right? Because this will be pleasing to Krishna. Right? So there. Now, as it said before, then, because of prema, how they were dealing, that's then how he reciprocated. But now Balaram, as the Lord, he's going to go on dealing how he always deals. And so Krishna's going to reciprocate that. Does that make sense? So, you know, it's an arrangement of Krishna. It's his yoga maya, because his maya is above Balaram. So Balaram can see things, but he can't understand why it's happening. He can see that something's weird here. No one else saw it strange. Mm-hmm. Balaram can see, but he can't tell exactly what's going on. So he began to consider as follows. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura writes, with an increase of prema, there developed such longing, utkanta. Though the calves had stopped suckling, the cows who were about to bear new calves had an increase in love. Seeing this unexplainable situation, Baladev began to think. For almost a year, every day at the time of milking, all the cows would ignore their newly born calves and feed the calves which had stopped drinking, taking milk from the udder. Why did Balaram realize this now, after seeing it for so many days? And why did the other cowherd men still not notice this? This was because of Yoga Maya. Because they were all covered by Yoga Maya from the day of the Brahma Vimohana pastimes. And although they saw the strange behavior of the cows, neither Baladev, the cows, the gopis, nor the gopas thought to investigate it. Right? So it's by Krishna's Yoga Maya. Does that make sense? So Baladev's already interacting with Krishna, so he doesn't have to interact with Krishna's the cowherd boys. So therefore their relationship goes on like that, and the cowherd boys' relationship goes on like that. So that's where Baladev is tasting that prema. Right? So, but the parents, the elder gopis and gopis, they always, you know, felt that if Krishna was their son, not out of jealousy, they were just thinking, you know, how nicely they would serve in the same way. So Krishna fulfilled that desire. That's why it worked out that way. Otherwise, he could have gone the whole year and nobody would have known anything, and it would have just, by his yoga maya, he could have done that also. But because there's these other pastimes to take care of, that's why it's there. So it's not logic. It's affection. Does that make sense? This is why it says that logic has its limits. When we discuss the tattva, it's not that logic is not satisfied, but by logic, we can't understand actually, you know, Krishna and the tattva of Krishna. We may think, yes, I'm intelligent, I can't, but no, we can't. It's only by making that endeavor, following the acharyas, then we get that flavor. Right? That's why it's so important we stick to that mood given by the acharyas. Like that. How they show us how to contemplate, how to think, that's the thing. That's why it says acharyavan, purusho veda. So, in this way, and what it, just before that, who did Prabhupada mention? Right? He mentioned Ramanuja, who all of them, right? Yes. That's amazing. It always seems to be just a... Okay, Vishishtha Dwait, Vishuddha Dwait, Dwaita Dwait, like that. Therefore, one must learn about Krishna from the Acharyas. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. So this position that I know of, that this position of Ramanujacharya is the founder Acharya, how it's his understanding of that Sampradaya, how he gives the instructions through that mood, you interpret the Shastras, that's your hermeneutics. Mm-hmm. His position is called Acharya Purush. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the same. Prabhupada is the Acharya Purush. We say founder Acharya just because that's some legalistic term that we think it is. But actually, it's just an English translation of Acharya Purush. As Prabhupada says here, you have to follow Acharya Van Purusho Veda. These Acharya Purushas is who you have to follow. Does that make sense? Then the proper mood, how we approach, how we deal, that hermeneutics is how we approach the whole Sampradaya. So it's not that just, oh, Prabhupada's here and this is that. He is the Acharya Purush for the Gaudiya line. Right? He may be, he might say, no, but what about Rupa Goswami? What about this? This is offensive. I mean, people can go on like this speculating until even beyond when the cows come home. Right? They can just do it forever because there's no limit to the foolishness. But the point is Ramanuja is the Acharya Purush for the Sri Sampradaya. Does he not have respect for his guru Yamunacharya? Does he not have respect for the Alwars? Doesn't he follow in their footsteps? And that's the whole point. He shows how to do that. So how we're going to follow Rupa Goswami and the other Acharyas? How we're going to follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? That's by how Prabhupada interprets it. How he understands it, how he follows it. Mm-hmm. Why I use the term interpretation, because I'm trying to use the term hermeneutics, that we don't look at things other than the way Prabhupada looks at it. Mm-hmm. That's how we look at the other acharyas. Then you see there's no contradiction, because there isn't. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. People try to do something different. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted people to go to the West. He wanted them to preach. Mm-hmm. Right? He asked Sri the Prabhupada to go preach in the English world. So it is his service. Mm-hmm. Anybody else tries to do it not in the way Prabhupada did it, it fails. Mm-hmm. Totally. But if they do what he did, it always works. So this idea is that, oh no, he's just for ISKCON, he's that. ISKCON founder Acharya. He is ISKCON founder Acharya, but he's the founder Acharya of the Gaudiya line. And the sooner that's understood, the easier it'll be for everybody. Both inside and out. Yes?
The difficulties that we're facing today is that, you know, Prabhupada, he gave initiation to so many people. Now they interpret Prabhupada as they see him. And it's not necessarily complete or even true. So, but
Prabhupada always said, by the books. So the books are always the main thing. So something he does, a letter he writes, a conversation that's there, you have to see it through the medium of the books. So if you see a difference in what he's saying here and what's in the book, you have to take the book as the foundational point, then interpret what's being done according to the book. If you do that, then there won't be a problem. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the tradition, how the tradition works. So that's the whole thing, is you're trying to get that tradition. Just see, if you use the Vedic tradition, it's not so difficult to do. If you use the modern academic tradition, then, you know, it's all or nothing. You know, it's either Einstein is the best thing since, you know, sliced bread, or he's, you know, wrong. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that they can... It's according to their own fancy. But it's not like that. It's that this is the way it is. So it's just taken the way. That's why it's always the word as it is, you see, comes up so many times. You know, and especially we've seen in these last purports, you know, or last chapters, that as it is being brought out a lot. So that's the aspect. You have to see it in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then even take what they say in accordance to what the book says. Mm-hmm. And then like that, then you get it, and then you'll see no contradiction between all the different devotees. Mm-hmm. So you can hold everything together through the founder. So, yes?
Still, find where the order of the logic goes, because like, let's say in the terms, next the mood of the Acharya or the likeness of Krishna or something. Because I still kind of, you know, where the exact line, the border.
Means it has to be in pursuance of. So one may not know the language or know the logic or different things like that. And so then one sees how much one can. But the point is that Krishna will reciprocate. And so then that's perfect. So it's what we're meaning is that it's not that you don't use logic to try to apply and apply your service in a better way, but it's not by logic that you'll understand Krishna. So we use logic as a tool to please Krishna, but it's not that logic will allow us to understand Krishna. So we use logic to apply our service, and then Krishna being pleased with that service, then we understand it like that. So it's like all the religious processes is used. But it's not what will reveal Krishna. It's Krishna being pleased reveals himself. He's independent. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Govura Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. See, because they're taking a particular aspect and then interpret everything according to that aspect, so that they're working from that aspect, it doesn't really have so much of a problem, but seeing it in a bigger picture, including with other aspects, then it sometimes isn't as complete as it could be.
Yeah, the thing is that, you know, many or most everybody, you know, preachers, they talk about Srila Prabhupada's mood.
Right.
But what is that exact mood? You know, devotees been agonizing for years after he left, and then still it's not...
But because you go by the books, and you see in that particular area where that's mentioned, then you go by that. So you don't take one mood in one area and apply that in another area if it doesn't... If you, by how he's discussing it, doesn't match.
So it's general and specific, both.
Yeah. So you have to be. There's, if Prabhupada's in one situation discussing something, what is that situation? And then from there, then how to apply that into the specifics you have, because the problem comes is I'm in this situation and Prabhupada's talking about, you know, something in another situation. How do those meet? So by the principle. So what's the principle that Prabhupada's, because you have to show it in some way. And so then the situations that come up, he'll show it in that way. But the principle applies even in the situations that he didn't show. So take it back to the principle, then you can bring it down and then it makes it easier. So that takes contemplation, that takes maturity, that's by Krishna's grace. But one has to have that understanding. Otherwise, if it just doesn't across the thing, seems contradictory, means one's actually not trying to understand what is the Acharya teaching. You know, what's the principle that he's teaching? And so if then one catches that, then one sees, then one can do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Is it still?
Kind of, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
If it's still the same point, then...
It's another point.
Oh, okay. So, does that make sense?
Yeah. It's,
you know. So, that's why then that the individual... There, in their practice of Krishna consciousness, those points that are of value to them, they'll emphasize those in their life. But you have to see those in connection with all the other aspects. Right? So, if it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. So then you don't have to worry about that. If you want more of a consistency, let's say, in the religious process, then one has to understand how that religious process, one, its variety of activities, and how all those varieties connect back to the Lord. But if you don't see the variety connecting to the Lord, then one won't actually understand. Like Prabhupada talks about Varnashram, but he only talks about it in connection with its value in use in the Lord's service. On its own, it's not important for us. It's important only because of its connection to Krishna. So that means Varnashram, you have to be connecting to Krishna. So when Prabhupada's talking about a detail of Varnashram, he's meaning that this is how it's practiced, but but you have to be able to see that practice in connection with how that pleases Krishna. So then if we just start arguing over the points of Varnashram, then that's where the big differences of opinion and that what you're talking about comes up. But the point is where's the Krishna consciousness in that? You know, someone may say, oh, but you can't be Krishna conscious if you're not following the Varnashram properly. But you can. It's just you may be culturally a bit of a culturally uncultured. So that's the thing, is that that's why you see Bhagavatam is dealing with all the 14 books of Vedic knowledge, but only from the perspective of Paravidya. It doesn't go into detail more than what is enhances the pastimes or appreciating the pastime. You know, or a few major points to that someone who has an understanding can make the connection through. Like, remember in Manusamhita, in that first chapter, then it's bringing down the whole creation and everything, right? And as that creation is coming down, then at one point, then he's made everything. And then he creates Varnashram so that then the humans can take care of the creation and elevate themselves to God consciousness. So that's where it connects back. So everything, so from that point, then that's how you would take it back, how the metaphysics works back. And then from that point is how you have to come down to one's position. So in other words, it's following the laws of nature given by Krishna, and because it's his laws, how to follow those laws to please Krishna. So what's mentioned in Manu is how he likes it to be followed. That's when he does his pastimes, that's how he likes it to be. Right? He's appreciating the lotuses in the river Jamuna, and the beauty of that, and the nice soft sand that they can sit in and have their lunch. Right? Okay, now if we take, let's say, some Malecha and Yavana kids, what are they going to be doing to those lotuses? Picking them, throwing rocks at them, fighting each other with them, and do they care about the fine points of the no, like that. And the sand, what are they going to be doing with that? Throwing that at each other. You know, they won't even be able to eat lunch. It'll be such a riot. You know? Does that make sense? You know? So that's then the position. So what Krishna likes out of all the mechanical varieties you could have, therefore, then you have human. So 8,400,000, he's only interested in the human. Right? And that means humans here. Right? Not the humans on the upper planets, lower planets, and all that, because they have all that aspect of majesty or too much, you know, material like this. So these ones here. So who Manu applies to. And so therefore he follows it. He follows the Shastras. It's one of, I think it's the 20th quality of his in the 64. So he follows. So there's that's how he likes to do it. Because if there's not restriction, then how do you have the pastimes? Right? If you could go out at any time with the cows, or you don't even have to go out with the cows, why would he go out? Or why not go out at midnight with the cows? No, but the occupation starts at this time, ends at this time, these different things are at this time, he has to take your bath here. You know, there is such a thing as lunch, therefore they take lunches with them. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it is. Then that regularity then creates a stability in the rasa. So that's how he likes it. So then seeing that connection back, then it all makes it work. So now that connection there, but how is the acharya given that to us? So how do we understand that? So we've been warned about smartas, and we've been warned about those who reject it without understanding it. So we know we have to follow it and be Krishna conscious. But it's not about because it's the rule that you have to follow it, because it pleases Krishna. And we can't reject it because it pleases Krishna. So that kind of interpretation, that flavor, then gives that particular way how we apply Varnashram. Because it's about pleasing Krishna. So if there comes out a Varnashram rule and then something else, then we might take that something else temporarily and then go back to normal. But those who don't understand, if there's that breach and then they take that as the standard. It was an exception. Now they don't go back to the normal when they could. They always try to create that exception. But how often are the exceptions? You did something as an exception on Rath Yatra. Okay, that's once a year. And that happened that year. The other years, you didn't have to do that. So why should now that become the standard that on every festival I don't have to follow the different rules? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It goes back to the thing. There is an exception, and then it goes back. That's what makes the rule then valuable. Because it is what you go back to. You know what I'm saying? A person goes out, they go everywhere, they go to so many places, they see so many people, they do so many things, and then they go back home. And then the next day they come out again. So there always has to be that route. So for us, then that's the Acharya Purusha's instructions. And then that's how we view the scriptures. Right? Guru Sadhushat. That's how then we see everything. So that's why it says Shastra Chakshus. These are the eyes of Shastra. But our seeing is according to the vision given by the Acharya. And so if that's understood, then it takes so much mental speculation goes away. Because on certain aspects, all devotees before, when that's all they did, then there was no speculation. And they did a variety of things and all this and that, and it was just different ways to do things for Krishna. It didn't matter. Right? It didn't have to all be the same. Like I was always like this, for instance, you had temples that after the Sunday feast, the whole temple went to sleep. And there are other temples where they went and did a 2-hour kirtan. It was one or the other. You didn't have another option, right? Like that. So different temples did different things, and it didn't matter. And, you know, someone out in dhoti, someone out in karmi clothes, someone, you know, it's just, it didn't matter because it was all just to please Prabhupada and the situation they had. If they could go out in the dhoti, they would, and if they couldn't, they'd do it in karmi clothes. Like in, when I went to San Diego, when we were in St. Louis, we did Sankirtan book distribution in karmi clothes. Well, we did Harinam and book distribution on Harinam in dhotis. But when we went to San Diego, then we're going to go out on Sankirtan, so everyone's putting on the karmic clothes and says, no, you have to wear your dhotis. Like that, because we have an arrangement. You go there, they know it's us. And therefore, then they let you. As long as no one comes in and complains, then they won't. But if someone complained, then they call the temple and tell them, hey, this complaint, and then we'd take care of it. Even when he went there, you get one of the trolleys. One of the trolleys for shopping.
Yeah.
You know, you put your books in there, then you wheel it inside the supermarket, and you put it outside the supermarket's manager's office. That's where you keep your books, because anywhere else it'll be a disturbance. Someone might take it. This, that, blah. So, like that. That's where you keep it. It's safe there. You know, and then as you need more books, you come, get like that, you wave, this and that, and you can take your lunch over there, everything like that. But their point was this, since you're Hare Krishnas, they have to know you're Hare Krishnas. Then if they want to talk to you and take a book, they would. That's the way it was. You had to do it that way. So every temple was different. But at the same time, they were all exactly the same. So that's the thing, is you can have all the variety if the principle is the same. But now the principle may not be caught as the same, and we're trying to take the variety and make that exactly the same. So it's a centralized same, but not a philosophical same. Well, Prabhupada's was philosophically it's the same, and then according to the individuals and the situation, you'd have the variety. That's why he didn't like centralization. Because every place is different. Every preacher is different. But it has to be in line with that mood and flavor given by Srila Prabhupada.
What model is that in leadership? What you now described, what model is that in leadership? Is that that everything is centralized?
Centralized means our philosophy is centralized,
yeah.
But our management's not. That's why there's GBC. Because there's a common standard of Krishna consciousness, and the GBC sees that common standard of Krishna consciousness is being practiced in all the temples of their zone. So that way you have the same flavor of Krishna consciousness around the world, though how you're going to do it may be completely different from different areas. Does that make sense? So the central point is the GBC. But it's not centralized management, it's centralized standards of Krishna consciousness. That's the central standard. Prabhupada's books is the central standard. Management, skills, techniques, that's going to be different from place to place, because if you say that everybody has to use the same, then if that would work, there would only be one book on the shelves in the book, you know, in the stores. You know, whatever that management system is, it's going to be that one for everybody. But it's not. Because what works for one person doesn't work for another. So to try to make it all the same is a foolishness. Right? So the standards by which you appreciate and understand, in other words, your hermeneutics, that's the same. But the application is going to be different from person to person. You know, it's just like we were saying before, Prabhupada, you could say, as far as the managers went in the movement, you could probably say Bhavananda and Tamal Krishnamurti were the best in the movement, most effective. Others were good. I mean, you're talking about, you know, just, you know, very close to each other and how it was done. But they were so different. Prabhupada called them there his right and left hand. Tamal Krishnamurti had a big desk, all kinds of papers, the computer, all the different things to know what was going on. Phone calls, this, that, everything. So he was on top of it by that method. Bhavananda didn't have one paper. He didn't have one file. Nothing. He just talked to people, inspired them, they got it done. But he kept following up with those people. So very different methods of management. And to say that one is the way to go and the other one's not, won't be different. It won't work. You know, so very different. How they approached things, how they dealt with the devotees, all these different things, very, very different. So that's the thing. And then other great managers, you know, Bhagavan, how he managed, other, like this, Ramashra. Then they all had their different methods. Bhavananda sit down, eating was something serious. Tamal Krishnamurti also. Bhavananda to eat in about 3 minutes. Tamal Krishnamurti might take about 15, 20. Like that. You know, so, you know, they had their differences. And so then they'd all do. But like Bhavananda, it was a cultural thing. You know, but just a relaxed cultural thing. Tamal Krishnamurti has to be a little bit more formal. You know, a little bit the social conversation like that. Bhagavan, it would be much more of a, you know, huh? Yeah, there'd be more flair to it and all that. And so then, you know, so there'd be more flair there, but let's say his other things would be more formal. But Bhavananda, his flair was like in the Vidura or other things like that, the festivals. And so everybody had where it stood out. So if you say, no, it all has to be the same, it's never going to work. It's impossible to do. So why anyone would even have the idea that it could be done and that it's a good thing? You standardize the Krishna conscious understanding of it. But if you try to standardize the external form of it, other than what Prabhupada gave and what's given in the Shastras, it's never going to work. Because Krishna, what he gives is universal. What we come up with, it changes day to day. You know? So that's the whole thing. It's about, you know, it should look beautiful. Yeah.
What would be your opinion on this? Many things would look like 50% of the mission is unfulfilled because of the non-establishment of varnashram. What is your take on that?
See, first of all, we have a problem is, what does it matter, my opinion?
In the sense that it has become a kind of a movement, so is it like...
A kind of movement, but the problem, the point is, the Prabhupada said, he says, it doesn't mean that there's an incompleteness, it just means that there was more to do. It's not that, oh, without Varnashram, then the whole thing's a failure and all that. Point is, you become Krishna conscious, it's good. But if you want to deal with the cultural aspects, you need Varnashram. Right? But the point is that, do devotees nowadays talk about community, family, economics, social dealings, social, you know, rights and obligations and all these things? But is it being discussed in connection with Varnashram? That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, we're hungry, we need something, we need some food. Okay, so then, you know, this is how cooking works. This is a kitchen, these are pots and pans, this utensil here does this exact thing. This one over here does this exact thing. No, but we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules. Why are we bound by all these things? Why do we even have to cook? Why can't we just, you know, you understand? If you're talking social things and economics and relationships and that, and you're not doing it through Varnashram, it's not going to work. It absolutely will not work. But Varnashram is about pleasing Krishna. It's not about the rules. So that's the thing. Otherwise, then you end up with, you know, okay, we're not doing samskars. You know, why do we have to do samskars? No, this is important, it's valuable, this, that. Okay, I'm doing samskars. Now, this samskar here is done on this particular titi. But on this particular titi, you know, which is good for there, but then it's got this planet in it. And this planet is bad for this thing over here. And this thing over here then has that thing over there. And that thing over there.
Maybe this thing over here. And that right down there. And then all these things here. And this.
That's the problem. Is why can't it just be, it's about Krishna consciousness, and you take it as far as it does that? Why does it have to be, you know, all absolutely, how you say, ion microscope detail, or absolutely nothing? You know, that's the problem. Why can't it just be, the acharyas say, use this, and that's it. You know, everyone's, you know, it's like, either we couldn't care less about when we do, if we do Garbhadhan samskar or not, or if we do, we don't care, or if we get into it, then it's down the titi and this, and you can never find a right time. Yeah, after 3 years, we can, you know, like that. And then after 3 years, then your wife's sick, and then that's it. So you can, you know, think, now what? You know, this Vedic system is so useless and all that, I try. It doesn't say that. Prabhupada says you just count the days, like Manu says. Manu doesn't even bother with titis. He just deals with the days, the baras, according to when the cycle starts. That's it. If you want to throw those in, great. But it should be that you can deal with it. You know, it's just like, you know how to, you know, Heisei stick some Maggi noodles into the microwave and push the button. You know? So, if that's all you can do, then stick to that. You know, don't get into this whole elaborate thing and all that and try to talk French while you're cooking and you don't know French and, you know, stuff like that. Just don't do that. So that's the whole thing. It's a balance. That's why it said the flavor the acharya gave. It's important, but it doesn't mean that now it takes over. That's the point. Is it's either nothing or totally everything, and that just doesn't work. It can't work. You know, and then we'll go back, swing to the other side. It's the pendulum, and then back this way, and then back that way. Why can't it just be nice and balanced in the middle? Right? That's the whole point. And so if we understand that that's the thing, that we're swinging from side to side, that's our nature, then fine. But know that the middle is actually the standard. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then you get a problem. Because even if we get down to cultural things, what's the standard? Right? How continental Europe, Western Europe, deals in emotional issues and that, in families and communities, is different than the East Bloc, which is different from the Middle East, which is different from Asia. You know what I'm saying? Every place is totally different. And so if you try to say a standard, this is how it's done, it's not going to work. Because now if we're saying, no, this is how it's done and how we have to do everything, then if we're going to do that speculative ones that we've said, why can't we just use the Vedic? Oh no, that's Indian. We can't use that. It's not international. So we have to use the international one. And international, of course, is how you say, south of the 49th parallel. I think it's 49th. Maybe it's 47th, but we'll go with 49th. North of the Rio Grande, west of the Atlantic, and east of the Pacific. And if you want, you can throw in, you know, the purchase that was gotten from, what do you call it? Russia, you know, up there next to Canada, and yeah, if you want, or, you know, there's a few islands out there in the middle of nowhere, you can throw them in also. Right? Puerto Rico, that's another thing, but hey. Okay? And so now that's the international standard. But from that, you know, we're not going to go with all those unsophisticated guys in the Midwest and the guys in the South, you know, like that. That's another thing like that. And little dry over, you know, northeast, and the other, you know, northwest, and like that. They're a little too laid back, a little too new agey for us. So therefore, the perfection is that place, you know, on the west coast, south of San Francisco, you know, west of Nevada and, what do you call it, Arizona, and north of Baja California.
It's a village or a city?
It's that kind of strip of solid cement from San Diego up to, you know, I think Pasadena or something like that. Otherwise known as the Greater Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, that's it there. Someone else will go, no, the New York thing is that. That's the thing. And you have to do everything like there. And someone else will say, no, no, it's got to be like London. And someone else will say, no, it's got to be like... But that's the whole point, is that the Vedic is the universal. Otherwise, that's what Prabhupada says. We have to give up. Then I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm Russian, I'm... You know, we have to give that up. Know our limitations. But we have to give up those apologies. So that's the point, is that if that's not done, it won't work. But it's the flavor that Prabhupada gave. Go into it at that rate. You know, it's either, you know, so much technicality and deity worship, you can't even get anything done, or nothing. So the point is no. The Prabhupada gave it, so do that nicely. He told where to look for, you know, when he told about the Archanpan, he told what to look at. And so then taking that, then you make it work. Is that what you're saying? You know, Prajumna was there, he'd do his things, and he'd get over the top, and Prabhupada would make comments. You know? He said he's like a donkey, right? Carrying around all his books. Like that. So, but he knew so many things. He would do all, whenever Prabhupada would do rituals and stuff, then Prajumna would do the yajnas and do the things and like that. So, he did, not that he had a problem with that, it just had to be our flavor. It shouldn't be someone else's flavor. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I have diplomats. A few months ago, we had a lecture with them for the leadership and management. Perfect. So they asked, where goes the line between ethics and spirituals? So, I mean, I reply something which seems to be satisfying in that sense, but, you know, where it goes.
Means if we're just dealing with ethics. Ethics means what are the standards of morality that we ourselves agree to and set. While spiritual means what's actually the eternal principles on which all laws are based. That's going to be the difference. So for some, ethics may mean only the social issues that the secular and all that. Some they will then take it from the religious background. So that's from a higher position. But the point is whether one sees the spiritual aspect of that, then that's higher than that. Right? And then higher than the spiritual is the devotional. So you just have to know what are the levels of consciousness and where they fit in. Then you can judge. Because you may have the modern ethical things that you have to work with, but at the same time, as you have to judge and see, do those match the eternal laws? And where they are common, then you go ahead with confidence. And where they're different, then you have to see is, okay, is what's going on now not ideal, but it'll work, but we'll slowly try to bring it to the ideal, or is what's going on absolutely wrong, or what's going on matches the ideal? You have to see that. And with that, make your decision. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. Okay.
About Varnashrama, Prabhupada is telling, writing first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Like, he's telling, like, Varnashrama principles help us for peace, prosperity, and attaining the spiritual values, spiritual life.
Yes. So that's the whole point, is it'll help us do all that. But we have to actually appreciate that and understand that. But then there's the thing, oh, does it apply to us, and this and that. But the point is, I don't mind if someone who's just into doing their Harinam or book distribution or, you know, that kind of thing, just whatever they were doing back in the 60s and 70s, they don't do anything other than that. And they say, what do we need the Varna Ashram for? And they're a bunch of brahmacharis or householders that just live in the temple and they don't care. Then it's fine. But you can't talk community in one sentence and the other half of the sentence you're bad-mouthing Varna Ashram. You know, that's like saying, we want money, but this business is nonsense. You know? We want money, but economics, who needs that? You know, it's that foolish. But because there's no experience, if I say that, use that example, everyone will go, yeah, of course, but, you know, we're talking about some reality. That means that they don't know what they're talking about. If you know economics, and, you know, that generates money. In other words, economics generates money. Varna Ashram generates all the things they want. So then they're saying, oh, we don't need Varna Ashram. So then say, we don't need money, we don't need peace, prosperity, happiness, you know, families, communities, and, you know, same thing.
Maharaj, this is the last chapter that Prabhupada has given the Bhaktivedanta purports, the Brahma's chapter, yeah. Brahma Vimoha Lila. The last chapter that we discussed in the morning, the pratitya was on that only, that everyone should perform their duties, Varnashram duties, in order to praise Krishna. So yes. Prabhupada is like, even towards the end, you know, of his writings, of the purports, he's just establishing the point of Varnashram so
yes,
much.
Yes. No, because without it, it won't function. Yeah. That's why he was saying he needs to introduce it, because everybody wants all this material facility, so the only way to get it is Varna Ashram. Mm. Everyone wants artha, but without dharma. Mm. You know, it's just some trick. So what tricks can you do to get artha? No, it's only dharma gets artha. So that's all.
And that is destruction of family traditions of his family. Is writing good population comes by following Varna Ashram.
Otherwise
Varna Ashram is same thing.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you very much.
Okay.